Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
Josh, I love the intros, but man, that's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
He's cracking the lid.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what? You're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always enjoy talking to our guy, Rob Domofsky. Mondays, typically after Packer games. Rob, I'd say good morning, but it's not a good morning. It's a very sad, sad, somber morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So what was it like in the locker room as you went down there to talk to the players after they not only lost the game, but presumably lost their best defensive player?
Yeah, Gabe, I can tell you this. I'm looking out my window, and the sun is still shining over the Rocky Mountains, but I don't know if I want to come home. I got a flight in a couple hours. And I think it might be better just to stay here. the mood was, it wasn't funeral-like or wake-like, but it wasn't a party either. Rashawn Gary, who obviously takes on a much larger responsibility now and needs to play a lot better than he has, when we gathered around his locker, the first question was asked, basically something like, how do you move on from this? And he paused for 12 seconds. Before he could even muster an answer. 12 seconds is a long time, especially when you're standing in front of someone. If we stopped talking for 12 seconds, people would turn the channel, right?
Rob, I wouldn't be able to stay quiet for 12 seconds. Like, I would have to make a noise just because it would be that uncomfortable.
Yeah. But then I heard you read the quote from Xavier McKinney, he handled it like, not saying Rashawn didn't handle it well, because Rashawn told us about how he gathered the defensive linemen together and tried to give an inspirational speech, which, good for him to take that on, that type of leadership role, but he needs to do it on the field. But, Xavier McKinney, you read the quote about, the season ain't over, they've got good players. I did make the point in my story this morning that when training camp opened on July 23rd, Micah Parsons wasn't on this team. And no one knew if Christian Watson was going to come back, as good as ever or better than ever. Yet they still thought they were a Super Bowl team. So, that is sort of what Xavier McKinney was saying, I think. But it's hard when the reality has hit and the compounding of all the other injuries, add up and you're on December 15th and it doesn't look great.
Rob, do you have any more info on the Watson and Tom injuries?
Yeah, so with Watson, they took him to the hospital as a precaution. And, I reported last night that he was able to get back in time to make the team playing, which I think is an encouraging sign. If he had some, was coughing up blood or there was some internal issue, they would not have let him get on the plane. So that to me tells me that he could be back before the season's over. I don't know if it's this week. And then the knee injuries to Zach Tom and Evan Williams, neither is a season ending thing, but they're in that week to week category and we're starting to run out of weeks.
Yeah. I just have a hard time imagining going to the hospital on Sunday leads to you playing on Saturday, even if it is out of an abundance of caution. That just doesn't seem.
Yeah. You never know. I mean, Davante Adams played after just, getting his clock cleaned and concussed on a short week one time. So I won't rule anything out. I know people are going to bag on Christian Watson for being hurt all the time, but how is he supposed to prevent that? Going up to make a play, and there's probably one corner, maybe two or three corners at the most in this league that are able to make that play, And then it was they're up 9 points and that ball's in the air. I'm watching it come basically right across my face thinking, holy cow, they're going to put this game away.
Yep.
And lo and behold, obviously it turned out completely different.
So how do you think they do move on, especially defensively? Is it just up to Jeff Hafley to try to figure out ways creatively the way he did last year to generate pressure and potentially put some of the corners who did not have good games yesterday, even when Micah was in, put them on islands a little bit more just to try to generate that pressure?
Yeah, I mean, we saw blitz packages last year from McKinney, Edger, and Cooper more often. I mean, he might have to go back and look up some of those things and employ some of those. Look, if Jeff Hafley is the greatest defensive coordinator, in the world, which I say that, I do think he's a very good coach. I'm not trying to be funny, but people think he's the greatest defensive coordinator since Fritz Schirmer, maybe around here. But let's see how he handles it. He's a very good coach. I'm sure he's got something up his sleeve, but from a pass rush standpoint, this was in my story and I tweeted it out again this morning. The difference in pressure from Micah Parsons, 64, to Rashawn Gary, who was second at 28, that 36 pressure difference is the largest gap between a team's first and second pressure person of any team in the league. Now, I mean, obviously that speaks to how good Parsons is, but it also, I think, reflects on how maybe lack of production we've seen from Gary as well.
What do you think of Love's performance, Rob?
I'll be honest with you, Chu. Once Christian Watson went down and then Parsons got hurt, I was in my computer writing the whole time because we had to do live stories. I would look up occasionally. I'm serious. We have to file something that also posts right at the end of the game. I got to go back and watch. I hate to use the – I have to go back and watch it, but I'm going to watch it on the plane. I'm going to rewatch it on the plane. I thought the first half, from what I saw, he was pretty good, but I really didn't see a whole lot. I can just tell you from statistical stuff, this is his first two turnover game in a while, right? I'm trying to think if he's had one this year. I don't know. It was a perfect storm of a perfect what storm, basically.
Matthew Golden, though, it seemed like his role expanded yesterday. He was healthy. The catch he made, the back shoulder catch that Love threw, the way he was able to spin was so smooth. Is that someone that they are going to maybe rely upon a little bit more if Christian Watson has to miss two games or three games? And again, it just kind of still remains a mystery with his chest injury. But with him seemingly being healthy, is that someone they can really lean on?
Yeah, it's gonna have to. And, I think back to the Super Bowl season of 2010, and James Starks didn't play really the whole year, right? And then come December, he plays and he ends up having a pretty nice run. I know Golden played some earlier this year. It's not like he didn't play at all. But getting a guy like him more, fully healthy or more healthy for this run, maybe that helps. Maybe that's a James Starks-like impact down the stretch. And if it happens, it certainly turns the narrative on his rookie season and allows, him and everybody else to go into the offseason feeling like, okay, that's why they drafted Matthew Golden in the first round. So I think it's an important stretch of three or four or five or however many games they end up playing. A very important stretch for Matthew Golden.
Rob, where do you think the team is at with Matt LaFleur's extension? You think they're not there yet? Do they think they got to see how this season plays out? Where do you think they're at?
Well, here's the problem, Chewy, and it's a great question. It is one I thought of almost immediately after the game or even before the game was over. At this point, when you lose Micah Parsons, and let's say Christian Watson, is out for a couple of games or whatever. Can you really judge what Matt LaFleur? Can you really judge him from here on out? If you don't know what you want to do with him, right now, then I don't know how the next couple of weeks or month is going to help you make a decision. Unless he just goes on they go on a tear and he handles it great. But to me, if you're Ed Policy, you already know what you're going to do. You can't not know what you're going to do at this point in the season. And now what that is, I'm not sure. I do think, and I've said this a couple of times, and this is not just guessing. This is it's an educated guess based on people I've talked to. I would not be surprised if Ed goes back to the old structure and gives Brian Gutekunst the power over the head coach and perhaps lets Gutekunst decide. I, 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 from all the people I've talked to, it sure seems like that is the way that Ed's going to go moving forward with whoever the next general manager is, and I'm assuming that it's Brian Gutekunst.
Well, so does that mean that you think no matter what for LaFleur, that Goody is safe? Because their contracts align, and that was, again, that was a part of, I know we focused more on the LaFleur part during the season, but Goody was in the same boat of 2 years left on the deal, not getting the extension.
Yeah. Let me put it this way. I believe Ed will give whoever the general manager is the power over the head coach. He still obviously has to decide if Goody is his guy, but I don't think he lets, or signs off on the Micah Parsons trade if he doesn't fully believe in everything that Brian Gutekunst is doing. So I think I said this before, when they made the trade, I talked to somebody in the league that said, well, this tells you that, Goody, or that Ed's on Goody's side, or Goody's on Ed's side, or if there are sides to be had.
Did Josh Jacobs come through okay? Because he was huge yesterday, and they're going to need him if they got any chance of beating Chicago. Is the knee fine?
Yeah. Sore, but fine. After the game, he talked for quite a while, and seemed like that it wasn't going to be any worse for the wear. This is something he's going to have to battle all year, and Chewy, it's one of those things where it's an injury that some days you may wake up and feel fine, and other days it may swell and it'll be stiff and sore and all that. Like, I'm sure you had those types of injuries where, from an MRI standpoint or an X-ray standpoint, like, there's no structural damage, but there's wear and tear there that on any given day, based on, a certain thing you did, a movement, heck, you could sleep wrong and it could swell up on you. So I do think, Jacobs is going to have to deal with that, but this is, those injuries, right? Those are toughness injuries to a point, and I don't know that there's anybody tougher than Josh Jacobs.
Who do you think has to step up the most in the absence of Micah Parsons?
I mean, besides Rashawn Gary, I think it falls on Kingsley Enagbare. It falls on Lucas Van Ness, although Van Ness was walking out of the locker room in a boot, so I don't know if that, not to freak anybody out, but I don't know. That may just be preventative. That may just be trying to make sure that, the foot injury doesn't get any worse. But I talked about Edger and Cooper off the top and the stuff that they did with him last year. So to me, Quay Walker and Edger and Cooper, while not the same position, can have similar impacts or make the types of plays that they need. But, again, it all goes back to Jeff Hafley.
Looks like they're, Rob, trying to get the tight Musgrave – had some plays yesterday. It seems like they're trying to get him involved.
I would assume, though, that was probably just something they saw, from a matchup standpoint, Chewy, because I don't know that this offense ever goes in, ever has a, we're going to get this guy involved because we want him involved. So I don't know that it will necessarily, equate against the Bears, although he did have the play against the Bears that was somehow overturned, right? That I thought was a catch. So maybe he is trending in the right direction. He's like the anti-Tucker Kraft. You throw the ball to Tucker Kraft short, he's going to take it long. You throw the ball to Luke Musgrave, and if he catches it, that's where it's going to end.
Yeah.
Been the case, unfortunately, for him just about the entirety of his career. Rob, we appreciate the time. I look forward to talking to you next Monday. Hopefully, hopefully we're all feeling better.
That was a ringing endorsement, Gabe.
It has nothing to do with Rob.
I'm starting to take it personally.
Yeah, I know.
Rob, it's not like Rob was out there and he's the one who tore the ACL of Micah.
If this
Parsons
goes poorly enough, I'll start blaming Rob, and I apologize ahead of time, Rob.
You know what the thing is, though? My paycheck's the same, win or lose. So bring it on.
Appreciate you, Rob. Travel back safe, bud. Rob Domofsky joins us every Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. College hockey fans, get ready for the Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off. Wisconsin, Boston College, Lake Superior State, and the defending national champion, Western Michigan, battling it out later this month, Sunday, December 28th, and Monday, the 29th, at Fiserv Forum. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com or the Fiserv Forum box office. But you can also win right now. Caller number 5. Caller number 5, 800-990-3776, wins 4 tickets to the Sunday, December 28th games at Fiserv Forum. It's the Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off, December 28th and 29th at Fiserv Forum.